Blog Talk Radio. Exceptional Service Career Training Institute is offering amazing healthcare training classes that can propel you into the career of your dreams. Upon completion of our classes, all students will take the fully accredited national certification exam through the National Healthcare Association at our facility. This credential will show your commitment to the industry, help you earn a higher wage, and help you be more employable. For your convenience, you are able to choose from morning, afternoon, evening, or online classes to fit your busy schedule. The healthcare programs we offer is medical assistant, pharmacy tech, phlebotomy, medication tech, and CPR classes. For more information on this great opportunity and class schedule, please call the office at 919-309-9065, business cell 919-225-0538, or visit our website at www.exceptionalservicehca.com.
You're the only one for me, and the four repeats in me you will find a home. From the back to the middle and around.
Welcome again to the Bachelor Pad. Boy, I tell you, when you do a good show, sometimes outside interferences happen, and they are unacceptable, and it's something that we will address as the days go on. So I want to go right to the phone and bring in two of my guests. He is a White House correspondent for Fox News. He is Kevin Cork and also Dr. Wilmer J. Leon, the third syndicated talk show host and author on the pad. And guys, I appreciate your patience. I know you got busy schedules, but I do appreciate you coming on the show.
Hello.
Oh. Stand by. Stand by. So, Corky, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. If you can hear me, I'm glad to be with you. If you're having trouble hearing me, let me know. I can call you back.
Oh, geez. I mean, yeah. After tonight, that would with everything else going on. So, what is the White House saying in regards to some of the backlash, first, when it comes from the tax bill that, you know, they obviously pass in House and Senate, they have to come together and make it actually work. But what are they saying to sort of spend it? Is the president going to be going out to try to make sure people feel comfortable about this? Because by all accounts, economists, mainstream, on the left and the right, of course the CBA as well, a lot of people are saying this is not a good bill for the middle class. This is a bill that's going to help maybe the 1% or 2% in this country.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue. I think the main thing I would say to you is it's going to happen. This is why I tell all my friends, left, right, and center, elections have consequences. Now, let's think about this. You're looking at a White House, a House, and a Senate, all the same party. So when people tell me my vote doesn't matter or I didn't like candidate A, B, or C, and so I stayed home, you point the finger at yourself. So this is where we are. All right, so what's going to happen is they're going to pass it. It will probably not benefit nearly as many people as they would like to suggest. I don't think there's any question, based on the analysis I've read, that this will have a broad impact short term. But I would say this. Fundamental tax reform had to happen. It needs to happen. And while the proof is in the pudding, we'll see if growth can offset the spending. At least right now, it's going to happen one way or the other, and people need to really be prepared for how this will impact them day to day. I would also say this very quickly. If you don't pay a lot in taxes, it's not going to make hill of beans to you. If you don't pay a lot in taxes now, you're not going to pay a lot in taxes in the future. If you pay a lot in taxes now, chances are you'll be paying less. If you have a business in particular, a large business, you'll be paying significantly less, guys.
But Kevin, you said something that I want to pursue from a personal standpoint. By all of what you read and did the research, this is not going to help those who not necessarily live paycheck to paycheck, but are trying to put kids through college, you know, trying to do the right thing, and they're working class people. And by the way, I don't think any president in the last whatever has been really pushing forth and talking about how to help the poor. It's all about the middle class, all about the middle class, which that's fine, but they're not pushing in terms of helping the poor. But from your personal standpoint, how does the White House and Republicans, from a moral standpoint, get past this if this is not a true tax reform or a tax bill to help the middle class moving forward?
I think what they would argue, and I think it's a legitimate question, what they would argue, and based on what I've read, is they would project that there will be this massive amount of hiring and investment by companies, particularly large companies, because you're talking about cutting their tax rate from 35% down to 20 or possibly 22. And keep in mind, the president wanted to cut it to 15 to mirror some other countries. The problem with that mindset is it presupposes this trickle-down theory will work. Companies will hire, companies will expand. That means more jobs for the poor. And when the poor
more money
work,
coming back from overseas, which hasn't
there,
happened
exactly.
before.
That's right. Repatriation of all those trillions of dollars, and they're thinking this will spur growth, and that means jobs. And when poor people get jobs, they cease being poor. And that makes sense on paper. The evidence, however, has suggested previously that it doesn't quite work out that way. What ultimately happens is there is some expansion and there is some growth, but by and large, shareholders pick up more money and they retire in big $25 million mansions on, penthouses in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. The only difference I would see this time that might make a difference, possibly, is given what has happened thus far, meaning the U.S. economy from Obama on has truly rebounded from the devastation of 2008 and 9, it is plausible to suggest that at a modest, and I say modest comparatively speaking, growth rate of 3%, which is nothing like the anemic 1% or 0.5% that we've seen the last several years. But if we can keep 3, to say nothing of 5, like these guys are talking, we'll all do a lot better. We'll have to see. I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm saying if it happens, we'll be better off.
Talking with Kevin Cork, of course, White House correspondent for Fox News, And I just want to let folks know we're still working through some bugs, so it included my guests. So if you just bear with me, we'll try to get this right. Kevin, just to stay with that, the numbers are always kind of crunch from the left or the right. And you look at it from a standpoint of Reggie, I see you. I'm trying to get you on. You look at it from the standpoint that 35% is really not 35. So you're really starting from a different number anyway. So crunching these numbers, in the short term, again, just to stay with this, is it something that when the GOP, let's say a year from now, and we're not seeing sort of the, and I know it's only a year, but sort of the growth or anything like that, how much will that affect, you know, the midterm elections coming up a year from now?
Okay, a couple ways to look at that. If you believe in history, and I'm a big fan of history, midterms equal turnover. Okay, so what I'm telling you is, it doesn't, unless they do manage 6% growth or some outrageous number, you're going to see significant turnover in the midterms. That's just the way Washington is. So I don't know that even a maintenance of growth of 3%, which is still very impressive, 3.3%, very impressive relative to lately, not historically, I should add. But even if they maintain this kind of growth, I don't see this being a big plus for the GOP in general in the midterms. People like change. people in America don't like single-party rule. It happens every time. I've been here long enough to see it. So I would submit to you, you're going to see significant change in the House, some change in the Senate. I'm not saying that the Democrats will take over, but I'm saying it will be pretty close. By that same token, I would say this. No matter what happens in terms of growth and no matter what happens in terms of the economy, this is something you and I need to talk about on the air sometime and maybe just spend an entire show talking about gerrymandering, all right?
Right.
When you talk about the way the system is set up, my friend, it is going to be exceedingly difficult to make substantive change in the House in a way that would lead to real dramatic turnover of leadership. I just don't see it happening anytime soon without dramatic change in the way that we handle gerrymandering and the way we handle districting. And by the way, keep this in mind, with the census coming up and with the party in control now in control, that will also have an impact on how things are drawn up. So until that kind of reform happens, don't bet the farm on dramatic political change in the House or even the Senate for that matter.
I agree with that. And I really do, because gerrymandering is real. Voter suppression is real. But that redistricting, especially in states that are, I mean, clearly, because they're in power, the Republicans, then it will be hard. We have a situation here, just as a side note, the state of North Carolina, Republicans run the House and the Senate, and what they're trying to push forward now is judges don't have to run. They just get appointed. That's a dangerous thing. It really is, because you get whether you're left or right, you're going to get a specific agenda from judges. So I bring that up to you, Kevin, because I think it goes back to your point of getting out in the vote. We saw in Atlanta the black vote is absolutely atrocious in that election. Absolutely atrocious. 17% in one county, 23% in another, and then you complain. We as black folks, right? So, again, whether you're left or right, you have to get out and be a part of that process, and that's not happening. Having said that, before I go to Reggie, if I can get Reggie on, the situation with Judge Moore, talk about it. And again, in fairness, you know, you're going to, you know, your network is looked at a certain way. We know that. That's clear. Right? So you're gonna get one directive from one standpoint, and you might get something different from MSNBC. Having said that, you see these allegations, and some are true, very true. Some are allegations of the sexual misconduct, sexual abuse, sexual assault. Al Franken resigning and saying Trump's still in place. Judge Moore, with all of this stuff with the 14-year-old, and he's calling people in trigonometry and going around malls. Where does this all go, in your opinion, in terms of this moral compass? Everybody bringing up Bill Clinton. Hell, I've been talking about Bill Clinton years ago. They should have, you know, this dude, you know, the Democrats can't have it one way. You know, back then they were like, yeah, he might have did this with Monica, but look at the economy. Well, now Judge Moore is here. It's the same damn thing. So you can't have it both ways. So where do you think this is going politically when it's all said and done with all of these allegations and this whole open season for sexual assault with politicians in particular?
I think you're about to hear first of all, I think it's the tip of the iceberg. I think I read today that CNN and the Washington Post who I don't think that's any question have established themselves in terms of their reputations as being anti-Trump, are about to expose between 20 and 30. This is a rumor, but I'm sharing it for context. They're about to expose the names of dozens of congressional lawmakers who were involved in that slush fund to what some are calling a slush fund to quiet allegations of sexual misconduct, the same one that we heard all about with Congressman John Conyers. my point for sharing that, even if that rumor proves not to be true, is that the environment we're dealing with right now here in Washington, this is not going away anytime soon, but I can say this. It's high time. And again, I will admit this freely. Easy for me to say I don't have anything in my – I don't have any skeletons in my closet of this nature. So I sound pious, right? I sound like the guy who's pointing the finger, and I'm not. I'm simply saying it's high time for our country and for our culture that we call people into account for ridiculous, awful, reckless behavior. I think what has happened to so many people in the past, we, like you said, oh, well, that's the way he is. Or, well, he makes us a lot of money, Harvey Weinstein. So I think it's good. I think cleansing is good. And I think you're about to see a whole lot of it here in Washington in the next several months to come. Bank on that.
Should Judge Moore be in the Senate?
I don't think there's any doubt that, and I've shared this with you privately, and I don't mind sharing it with your audience. If you haven't lived in Alabama, you just won't. You don't get it. You just don't get it. There's, my friend. Let me just say this: I'm a son of the South, all right, and I mean the deep South. My daddy from Mississippi, on the Alabama border, and my mama from Tennessee. Okay, so I get the South. I've been to Alabama. I know Alabama really well. I almost went to college in Alabama. You have to understand, it's up to the people of Alabama. And as I said yesterday, if Connecticut voters can send Richard Blumenthal to the Senate knowing that he lied about his Vietnam service, knowing that they sent him anyway, and a big, gigantic, middle finger salute to the rest of the country who was outraged at the time. Don't think for a second that Alabama voters won't send Judge Moore right on up to Washington and a big old middle finger to the rest of the country, too. I predict it.
Well, but I have to take issue with that. And it's not because I'm from Connecticut. I know the whole Blumenthal thing. But it's one thing to lie about your service. It's another thing to lie about, trying to mess with little girls or at least young girls. That's okay. Two totally different things, Kev.
But wait, one is proven and one is still to this point conjecture and suggestion.
That's not true. Maybe some of them, Kevin. But some of those accusations, he can deny. I can deny anything. I'll deny, hey,
right.
I didn't do it.
Right.
But if the facts are there, the facts are the facts.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You weren't there. I wasn't there. It's a he said, she said, and that's not proof. But we know demonstratively with ironclad proof that Richard Blumenthal did lie about his service. And, again, I'm not comparing the two. Because to me, one is way worse than the other. But then again, I'm not a 75 or 65-year-old veteran who served and who might feel equally strongly about somebody lying about war service. That's how that goes, too. For a lot of people, that's a very serious thing. I'm not equating the two. I'm not making a moral equivalency. What I'm trying to suggest to you is voters have a peculiar way of telling the rest of the country, we hear you. We don't care what you think. We're sending our guy to Washington. And
I'm saying is that with all due respect to Vietnam and those who serve, which is a whole different discussion for me, and I would probably upset some people, the fact is that if you're being accused 5, 12, 18 times about being a pedophilia or just messing around with calling people in their trigonometry class, even hypothetically, if it's not true, you got all these allegations. That's got to raise a red. If it was L.A. Bachelor, Kevin Cork, or Reggie Howell getting all these ads, people are going to be looking sideways at you. They should be, at least.
No question. They would, and you would get it. You would get what you deserved if it's true. The only issue I would have is, it is repugnant to even think about what he's accused of. And it's just disgusting, which is why I'm surprised he didn't step out. and just let somebody else hop in there early enough in this process, but in a sort of a weird way, because this was brought up so late, so close to the election, it basically painted him in a corner. Had this had come out sooner, he could have been replaced on the ballot. And once he was stuck on the ballot, of course, there was no way they were going to let that seat go. Not in a 52-48 environment that's often 50-50. So, no, he'll be elected. He will serve. Who knows for how long, but I do believe he'll be elected because I think the people of Alabama are just like the people of Connecticut in so much as they're saying, hey, star guy, don't you tell us what to do, Washington. Don't you tell us what to do, media. He'll be in Washington soon.
Well, it's the interesting thing, I'm going to go to Reggie Howe, but the interesting thing is that, who's going to want to co-sponsor a bill with this dude? I mean, I don't who's gonna anything family oriented? They probably won't. They'll run to the other side. But then again, Mitch McConnell has changed his kind of thing, and so who knows what'll happen? I want to go to Reggie Howe. I know he's got questions. Go ahead, Reggie. What say you, sir?
Yeah, gentlemen. Good evening. How you doing, Corky?
All good, my man. Good to catch up.
Well, you know, it's amazing to me, and don't take this personal, but your network not only has been cited for discrimination against blacks, but we know the different, should we say, harassment charges been levied by certain individuals, which brings me to two things. When I see Fox being the mouthpiece of Trump and not even apologize, that's cool, that's cool. And by the way, Corky, when last time you been on Air Force One? You been on it lately?
I was on about a month ago, and I'll be back on again in about maybe 3 weeks.
So how often does Trump change his sheets? Or should I say his hood? That's a joke. Don't worry. I don't want you to answer. I want you to. I know the government's listening. I don't want you to get in trouble. And by the way, I see Omarosa. Air Force One pass has been revoked, so I'm sure she can't fly her little. Well, that's all right. But you know, on a serious tip, Corky, when I really see this Republican Party, they remind me of the White Citizens Council, which they are. When I see these Barry Goldwater Klan conservatives do everything they can take us back to Woodrow Wilson, I just say to those people that didn't get out to vote, it was Trump. They're on orangutan, 45, and that, hey, I'm saying this, so you don't get no trouble. Stood there and told black folks, hey, Negroes, what you got to lose? Yeah, we got a lot to lose. Cross check, take names on the vote with Trump won. And I just got to say, man, Democrats, Corky, you ain't got to answer no questions, man. Because, like you said, Trump and Obama are going to be buddies. Yeah, how's that working out? So. You know, it's all yours, Corky, man, because I can say some stuff, but I don't want to offend you, brother. So I'm just going to let it go at that.
You are hilarious. And, you know,
I'm being honest. I'm trying to be nice. I'm being honest because this isn't really funny,
you,
man.
Because I know,
really,
I know nothing
it's,
else
it's,
I can
really
tell you to stir the pot.
Well, it's Reggie came up with that term for Mr. Trump, and it is some serious concerns with, you know, as it relates to the black community. Kevin,
Let me just say this, and this is, and in all seriousness, I think it's relevant to keep this in mind. And again, I'm coming at it as somebody who went through, you know, two layoffs and has gone broke before. Okay, so I get it. For us, it hasn't exactly been a glorious ride for most of us. Now, that said, I would say this: we all will see if there's an improvement in our condition, especially as it relates to jobs. Because my bottom line for my community, my family, and myself is if you give a person an opportunity to work, will they work? And I think one of the biggest misconceptions about many in our community is, oh, well, they don't want to work. Of course they want to work. Everybody wants to work. There's a job. People will fill that job. You see a help wanted sign up in your neighborhood, people will tell other people. They'll tell their friends and their family. My point is, I don't know how much we can realistically expect to have happen for our community in the span of 10 months. But I know this cannot be worse than what we went through in 2009. And while for many of us things got better under Obama, there's no expectation. I have no expectation that they'll get worse if the economy does what it continues to do, which is if the economy improves, we should all be able to improve, potentially. Maybe not, but all I can say is I'm praying for it, and I don't know if that's going to be a reflection of what he does, his policies, or the general economy. We'll see.
Yeah. I want to bring in Coco Cosme. She is a reporter for the BuzzFeed, and she's a co-host of one of our shows here on the network called The Donaldson Files. We had her on for something else that we'll get to later, but I know Coco may have a question for you, Kevin. Go ahead, Coco.
Hello. How are you?
Awesome, Coco. Thanks for following. I got your follow. Appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. So I kind of want to ask you this. What made you become a conservative? Because I like to call myself kind of reform conservative at this point, but I was just interested in what made you decide their ideologies, or, you know, what really made you pick becoming a Republican conservative?
Oh, well, I'm not. It's funny.
No?
When I worked at NBC, people would routine. I can't even. In fact, I saved some of the letters. I probably saved, I don't know, 10 letters just to remind me of the viciousness of covering Washington politics. And my friends laugh about it. When I covered the White House and I was covering President Bush, I was working for NBC, and I would get letters once in a while, not all the time. And I don't want to paint conservatives with a broad brush, but I get letters, everything from calling me N-word to you're just a hater, you're a liberal, you are a typical black liberal anti-Bush hater. I would get things like that all the time. And then when I covered Obama for Fox, I would get letters from people saying, "Oh, you're a Tom, you're a suck up, you're a cuck." I mean, it's ridiculous. So my point to you respectfully is, to work. In fact, most of you probably know this, Coco. The vast majority of people that work at Fox came from other networks, and everybody who worked at Fox who came from CNN, for example, my producer today worked at CNN. My other producer worked at CNN. Ed Henry worked at CNN. John Roberts worked at CNN. Kevin Cork worked at NBC. My point is that Chris Wallace worked at ABC. The vast majority of the people that work on the news side, we're not talking about the Hannitys of the world, but the news people, the people that work 9 to 6, the vast majority are just news people. So it doesn't mean that I'm completely unaware of what our audience would like to know about. It doesn't mean that I'm completely bereft of knowledge of who they are and how they will process certain stories, but it doesn't change my life. My job is to get out there and do it, because ultimately my higher ability, meaning my ability to get a job, is predicated upon playing it as close to the middle as possible. So I'm not a conservative. I'm not a Republican.
Okay.
I have a job, and it's a good job.
Well, that's very good. thank you. Yeah, I have no idea why I thought that up.
You know,
it's a good question, because I think in this environment, Coco, a lot of people, because of the way things have gone at the Post, Washington Post in particular, but also the New York Times and MSNBC and Fox is guilty of it in particular on the opinion side. Because now people simply seek out you know, people that validate their thoughts, both in print and on TV, that's the broad brush we're painted with. But I don't think it's a bad question. It's just the reality of how people see our brand.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Coco, go ahead. I'm sorry. You finished what you said.
No, I was going to say I totally understand. I understand his viewpoint. So, yes, go on.
Yeah, and you get left and right. I just want to, again, we're trying to get these bugs out. So, if Coco, if you can mute your phone, and Reggie, you can mute yours. And so when I come back to you guys, you can unmute. And again, Pat Nation, I apologize to them and to you, Kevin. Real quick, I guess to follow up on what Coco was saying, you know, you get the sense, and you and I have had some conversations off the air, right, about things. But you get the sense if you work for a certain, like Rachel Maddow, most people believe, right, and it may be true, may not be. I'm not in her mind and in her political affiliation that she is a Democrat. She works for MSNBC. So you work
but
for Fox.
Remember now, she's on the
and so you get
side,
that.
Right?
What's that?
She's on the opinion side of MS. In other words, during the day, like nobody thinks Craig Melvin is liberal. He's just a newsman, right? If Hallie Jackson comes on, nobody thinks that, well, Hallie Jackson is a liberal White House correspondent. She's just a reporter who works at the White House.
Right.
Yeah.
And I like Hallie.
Yeah, I like her a lot. I'm a big, big fan of hers. But it's interesting because Fox's brand is so, you know, ubiquitous, right? It's huge. It's large. It's bigger than the others. It's painted with more of a brush, but I think over time, hopefully, and I've only been there for three years. Hopefully over time, people will be able to better distinguish between the opinion side and the regular news side, but we all get it. In other words, if you come to Fox, one of the first things they tell you in the interview is, can you handle this? They asked me point blank when I was being interviewed, can you deal with this? You know, can you take the slings and arrows? Because it's real, and you have to be willing to put that in a box and do your job despite the slings and arrows. And I said to them, just like I've said to you privately, to me, doing good journalism, I can sleep at night because I know my air is tight. You know, my game is straight up tight. You can go back and look at all my pieces, every single one, and say, wow, he did get both sides, and that's all I need to do.
So, and then, you know, but you get a Greg Jarrett or someone like that, or, you know, Laura Ingraham or someone comes on, and then they change the narrative because, they have a slant to the right, and so you get that perception of people thinking that, well, you know,
yeah,
you know, they especially too, Kevin, because while you're out standing in front of the White House with your cool ties on, right, you're reporting whatever, but in the studio, you know, you're getting something different. So that's why people get that perception. If you're not a conservative, they're getting that because you're reporting to whoever doing your report or whatever, and you have your producers and stuff, and you're doing that, and so people get that perception because that's who you work for. So they either love you or they hate you in regards to that.
You're right. It's amazing, too, because a really dear friend of mine who I won't name, another correspondent, at a different network, and this is a lifelong friend. This is a friend of mine from way back. Said he was concerned, you know, how working for this brand would impact me long term. And I said, you know, as long as every network is doing this, and they are, let's be real, they are all in the opinion game at night and during the day, they're just trying to keep their people playing as close to the middle as they can. We're all going to be in the same brand circumstance. The good news is, like I said, my friends, you know, everybody I know, at Fox works. Well, no, I shouldn't say everybody. 80% of the people I work with work at other networks. So it's just, for most of us, it's just a good job.
It's about working and making that money. I got you.
Yeah, I get paid, man.
With a couple questions before you go, and then I'll bring Coco and Reg back in, and hopefully Dr. Leon. But with the new allegations, at least these reports, and these are reports, and they have to be confirmed, and you always talk about that. With Donald Trump Jr., you know, sort of, you know, invoking executive privilege and what he said to his dad, and this meeting at Trump Towers. You look at what Flynn, these allegations that Elijah Cummings, Representative Cummings, is saying that, look, you know, we need an investigation on the fact that this dossier and the information is saying that Michael Flynn, you know, several minutes into the inauguration is texting people saying we're in the money because, and don't worry about these sanctions because we're in the money. We're going to, all that's going to be gone. Again, what is the White House, what's the angle where they're coming from and how they kind of, I don't want to say spin, but how they, you know, how, you know, Sarah Sanders talks about this and what are they saying in that regard?
Well, two things stand out, and this is important. Number one, they have to be extremely careful, extremely careful. There are two things you do not want to do when it comes to law enforcement. Don't lie. Okay, just don't lie.
Right.
And don't misremember in a way that could put you at risk. In other words, tell the truth. And if you don't know, say I don't know. And one of the things that Sarah has been, I think, better at, Sarah Sanders, the press secretary, is saying, you know, I can't answer that. You have to take that up with John Dowd. Or I don't know the answer to that. I didn't ask the president about that. Now, that's frustrating for us as reporters. Don't get me wrong. But legally speaking, it is the wisest possible advice I can give you. Say nothing because you know nothing unless you were there on the call. And even then, say nothing because you don't want to put yourself at risk. I think this White House is at extreme risk of having more people end up indicted and possibly charged because too many people are tweeting, too many people are talking. The best advice I've ever gotten from a lawyer, one of my best friends in the whole wide world, which was funny because it almost echoes what I heard in a movie once, which made me laugh once I heard it. Don't say a word. Even if you know something, say nothing and never ever talk to anyone without a lawyer. And that's the truth. And I think these guys have been sloppy. I think their image, I think their lack of experience in Washington has been costly. And we'll see if it plays out to the point where this is it or if there's more to it. I don't believe there was any grand collusion. I reject that. I think that's silly. But I do think some people will go to jail possibly over this entire cause of lack of discipline.
Well, I don't think that – I think it stops at the president's door. I don't think anything happens to him, my personal opinion. But his son-in-law and his son could be in trouble. Final question for you. What in the hell with Jerusalem? I don't – what is the strategy behind this whole Jerusalem saying them as the you know, the capital of Israel – because it really it puts, you know, and Tillerson I think said that it really puts a lot of military in harm's way. There's going to be some very unrest that's going to take place, not just in the Middle East, but across the broad when you look at, you know, Palestinian people and people who don't like Israel. This puts Saudi Arabia in a bad spot. What is the White House mentality in trying to put forth this situation? Because to me it creates even more of a mess in terms of peace talks between the Palestinians and Israel.
Well, it certainly complicates things. I guess you could look at it two ways. One, they did it because they know that the Congress passed it 22 years ago, and either we meant it or we didn't mean it. The other way you could also look at this, at least in defending their decision, is this. He made a promise to do it. It's obviously important to the lobby that's important in this country. It's important to our greatest ally in the region. If it's important to those two stakeholders, those two constituencies, and you promised to do it, and you follow through, I think most people would shrug and say, well, he said he'd do it. Our country promised to do it. Only the last three presidents elected not to do it. So I think there is this sense, at least here in Washington, that while around the globe the move may be criticized, you're seeing a relatively muted response here in America, because most Americans respect the idea that if their capital is there, or rather if their parliament meets there, the Knesset or whatever, their Congress, if you want to call it that, if most of their seat of power is there, it is what it is. Again, I understand the unrest around the globe, and there are some people that will be hurt, if not killed, over this decision, and I don't want to make light of that. But I think from a policy perspective, at a minimum, he did what he said he'd do, and he did what our Congress said they wanted done a long time ago. And for that, I think there is a healthy amount of respect domestically and certainly in Israel as well.
You know, it's easy for us to be cool with it here in the States, but, you know, people in Israel and other countries have to deal with the ramifications of terrorism and everything else that goes
You're
with
exactly
it.
You're exactly right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's a different story. Kevin Cork, as always, bro, I appreciate your time, your patience, and let's get you on next week. Be safe. If I do not talk with you by Christmas, happy holidays to you, and thanks for coming on, sir, you and your family.
Always a pleasure. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everybody out there. Take care.
Same to you. Kevin Cork, of course, he's a White House correspondent for Fox News, and we appreciate his insight. Again, we are working with four cylinders instead of five this evening, so I just ask for folks to bear with us, including our guests. I think we have Rich Howe on the line, Dr. Leon, Coco Cosney on as well, even trying to get Barry Barnes on the line, and we're having some technical difficulties. Again, I guess the gremlins are out. When you do a good show, the enemy always comes in and tries to make things happen. So we're trying to work through this. I want to go to Coco because if you can unmute your phone. You had your show on. I'm going to give some folks an opportunity if we can to ask you questions, if we can. But again, you are the co-host of the Donaldson Files with Tom Donaldson, and you're
mm-hmm.
Your perspective is typically from the left and Tom's from the right, which I thought
mm-hmm.
was very compelling, by the way, that he said, when I asked him, and you heard me, Coco, I said, listen, is it more important to put a Republican in the Senate than standing on a moral ground and having someone who's been, you know, alleged to be this pervert? And he
mm-hmm.
said, yes, it's more important to have a Republican in that spot than a liberal Democrat. And I was talking with one of my sponsors and advertisers, and I said, look, in a lot of cases, you get in the Deep South with Republicans, they are very concerned about their way of life. I'll just say it like that. and losing their way of life. As Trump says, make America great again. A lot of people interpret that as make it more white again. And then in the North and in the Midwest and even where you are in Cali, you know, Republicans are concerned about their money. So they don't want liberals because they don't want to lose their money. They think if liberals are in there, they're going to lose their money. So what do you make of Tom's response in that regard? That the fact that, you know, they're Republicans that just will not vote Democrat because they're so, and you're a former, you know, conservative Republican.
Yeah.
What do you make of that kind of conversation when they say, I will vote for a child molester? You got an email from an attorney that said, I'll vote for a child molester, I'm paraphrasing, before
yes.
I vote for this Democrat.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. You know, it still is resonating with me that he actually said that, because he's a smart guy. You know, Tom is a very smart guy, and, you know, when he said that, I wanted to, like, go George Carlin on him and curse him out completely, because it's just so ridiculous. It's so stupid, and I still can't, you know, believe people are literally putting basically their party over their country. And that's one of the main reasons why I left the Republican Party. I was always, you know, socially liberal. But when Trump started, you know, his whole campaign, I'm not exaggerating. I've lost about 100 friends because of the stupidity, what they think and how they act. And, you know, like you said, they really rather put a pedophile Republican in Senate than someone who, you know, has morals, but because they're a Democrat, you know, well, we can't do that because that doesn't go with our party. So, you know, to me, the majority of Republicans are putting party over country.
But just real brief, talk about the email you got from that attorney and what he said. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually have it right now on me. And it's just not him. It's basically this guy told me that if there was a videotape of Roy Moore raping a child, he would still vote for him ahead of someone who is a Democrat. I mean, I'm reading this, and in my mind, I'm just kind of mind blown that someone would even think this, let alone type it out. So for me, I mean, I had the other day some guy, you know, blaming the LA, God was putting the fires in LA because we're not voting Republican. That's basically the gist of what he said. And then this guy, this attorney, you know, literally rather have someone who is a pedophile versus a Democrat who's pro-choice. And to me, that seriously blows my mind. It really does. There's no thoughts that I could come up with. There's no words other than that is ridiculous. And it's sad because there's so many people out there that think this way. And these people are allowed to vote, which makes it even worse. And, you know,
what do you say to those Republicans who say, I mean, just to play advocate, and again, folks on the line, I'm trying to get to you, so please do bear with me. If you can hang, that would be great. But what do you say to those who say, look, you supported Bill Clinton, right? He had infidelities. He had Monica Lewinsky. And then the answer to a lot of Democrats were like, you know what? You know, look, yeah, he did this. He cheated on his wife. He got Marla Maples and all these different women out there. But guess what? The economy is great. That sounds like Trump grabbing women by the private parts, but guess what? He's going to make America great again. So what do you say to those Republicans who want to equate those two?
Well, I think they're out of their – what I would say is they're out of their minds. I mean, you can't – okay, Bill Clinton. You know, yes, he had affairs or whatnot. He wasn't caught raping a child. He wasn't accused of raping a 14-year-old. He wasn't dating 13, 14-year-olds when he was in his 30s. At least I hope not, because if that was the case, I would totally, you know, go after him. I mean, but I honestly feel there's nothing I can say, because no matter what, it's stuck in their minds that, well, we need a Republican in Senate. So I don't care what you have to say. I don't care what the proof is. We're just gonna put him up there. And what I don't understand as well is, well, we can have an investigation once he's in Senate. Well, he shouldn't be in Senate if there's going to be an investigation. I mean, I honestly, I don't know what else to say except that, because it just, it literally goes into one ear and out the other with a lot of these Republicans.
Should Al Franken have resigned, especially since he admitted some of those situations? He admitted they're not allegations, they're facts, because he said, yes, mm-hmm. I did grab this person, I did do this. Should he have resigned?
Yes. I don't think, you know, one way is bad or the other way is, like, worse. You know, I don't think, like, oh, because, like, he's a Democrat, I have to save him. Or, you know, if it was a Republican, well, we have room more, so you know what? I can't even say that either. Where, you know, if it was a Republican, you know, they'd be calling their heads off. I feel like because he's a Democrat, people are giving him a lot worse shit at this point. And for me, if someone sexually assaulted someone while they're in this high-profile line of work, then, yeah, I do believe they should resign, Democrat or Republican. But to me, it's not a party thing. To me, it's a decency thing. And if you can't be decent enough to, you know, say, well, what he did was wrong, you know, it just kind of annoys me that it's we have to pit Republican against Democrat when this is more of a decency or a moral type of situation where, you know, if you can't even recuse yourself because you wanted to grab some girl's tits, you shouldn't even be in the position you are.
Talk with Coco Cosme, of course, from co-host of the Donaldson Files, and of course on from BuzzFeed. And let me ask you this. You made a comment last night, and really the specific reason we had you on where, uh-huh. and I'm paraphrasing, if I'm incorrect, please correct me,
sure.
that you had mentioned about, we were talking about religion and moral conduct and things of that nature,
okay.
and you guys were talking about, and you said that you're a Jew, and Jesus saves himself. He didn't save anybody else. And it's cool, and it's okay in terms of, if you're a Jew, you can be an atheist at the same time. Kind of elaborate on what you were talking about.
Okay, well, the reason I said that was this guy basically on my Twitter said that I need to repent for my sins because God is sending a wrath to LA with the fires. And I made kind of a snide remark. I said, Jesus died for your sins, not mine. I kind of always say that when some religious zealot is, you know, telling me that I'm going to be smited. But, you know, growing up Jewish, you know, I went to religious school for like 14 years. And you're always taught, no matter what, you know, you could be an atheist, you could be a Buddhist or whatever, you're still going to be Jewish. And yeah, it's, you know,
So for you, it's more of a, an ethnic thing more so than a religion or practice.
Yes.
You're Jewish, you know,
yes.
Make no mistake about it. And so it's not about you, you know, practicing whether Orthodox or unorthodox. You're Jewish, and if you decide that you don't you want to be an atheist and you just believe in sort of creation and not believe in the Christianity part of it, then that's okay.
Yes. I know many atheist Jews. I know many Buddhist Jews. I mean, as silly as it sounds, there are even Jews for Jesus, which basically is just someone who's Jewish, but they believe in Jesus, but they still want to be known as Jewish. So, I mean, there's such a vast variety of, you know, Jewish practices. You know, I mean, Kabbalah is I don't know if you're aware about Kabbalah, but it's a mythical type of religion, but it comes from Judaism. So there's such a variety of Jews, and, you know, so I've always been taught that, you know, it doesn't matter what religion you really practice, but at the end of the day, you're still Jewish.
So do you, I guess, do you kind of grasp the backlash of what came just not from your show, but it flooded my email in terms of when you say, well, you know, Jesus didn't save you, or it wasn't about you, that there's that backlash that comes with that type of stuff. And do you even care at that point?
Do I care? That's a really good question. Not really. Because I know who I am, and again, I don't say this to, you know, regular people. I only say this to, like, the crazy zealots who are literally telling me I'm going to hell because I'm Jewish, you know, and Jews don't believe in hell. So, you know, I wish a lot of people, especially those who are, you know, Israel fanatics, who are Christian, would actually know a thing or two about Jewish people, because the majority of the time they do not. And it's like, of course I care. Like, I'm not that much of a, you know, horrible person where, you know, I'm going to be like, you know, well, I don't care about your God. Like, no. But if someone's going to attack me and telling me I'm going to hell because, you know, I'm liberal or I'm Jewish or whatnot, then yeah, it's going to get a response out of me.
Yeah, and so it was more sarcastic to that person. And you figuring out,
sure.
Okay. Reggie Howell, are you still online? And by the way, I'm blind. I can't see anything. I mean, I can see something, but I can't see you guys. But is Reggie, you still on the line? Okay. So when you look at, just staying on the religion, Coco, when you look at the situation, when you have an attorney who I was just talking earlier, like, okay, so he went to higher learning. He's supposed to be a professional. He's supposed to be an intellect. When that attorney says that he can watch a video of Judge Moore, you know, raping someone and still vote for him, what is that? And people tend to hide behind religion or hide behind, you know, that aspect. Does that change your feeling about that as it relates to politics, as it relates to social change, when people will have their, I call, God complex and tell you, you know, about abortion where, and I always say with abortion, whether you agree or disagree, you know, these zealots of abortion, they want to stop these abortion clinics so they can save these babies. But when they save them, they have no social program in place, no social program and no kind of net to take care of these kids. So is there a breakdown for you when they come at you from a moral, from a religious standpoint? Does that make you go away and be sarcastic as it relates to religion and all of that?
I mean, I don't know if it's me being sarcastic, but, you know, when I hear that stuff and they're using, you know, the moral way of, like, you know, well, you know, God wouldn't want to do that. And to me, that's kind of doesn't make me back down whatsoever. But at the same time, it's like you can't really rationalize with someone thinking that, again, you know, you're going to be going to hell if you have an abortion or, you know, something similar like that. So for me, I try not to get in debates when it comes to that, because there's no rationalization when it comes to that. Like, you're not going to change someone's mind, especially on a topic like abortion. Like, that's one of, like, the topics that you just don't debate with anyone, because you will, especially if it's a friend of yours, you'll lose that friend.
You know, talk about, before you go, you said you lost about 100 friends
when you
decided to switch. How was that dramatic for you? What were they saying? Was it name calling? What was the whole dynamic of that?
Well, and that's a really good question. I wasn't even exaggerating when I said I lost 100. These are people that I've known for 10, 12 years. And, you know, the minute they found out that I was going to be voting for Hillary Clinton, it was like, well, you're a dumb bitch and I'm never speaking to you again. And there was a thing that I did kind of attack a certain guy on Fox News. And apparently he was really good friends with this one guy I was friends with. And he basically said, oh, you're just a Hillary Clinton supporter. You're a woman. You know, don't be so dramatic. You can't talk to people like this. And this is someone I knew for a good 12 years. And I just kind of woke up and I was like, well, no, screw you. I can talk like that. You're not going to tell me, especially I wasn't even talking to this person. I was talking to someone on Fox. So for him to kind of butt in and tell me that I need to relax and I need to, you know, chill out with what I say, I was like, I don't need that person in my life. And for the most part, you know, it's been fine, but I have lost people that I've known for 10, 11 years. And that was really hard, because I felt like, you know, you can't even respect me enough to tell me to my face. I have to find out from, like, you blocking me or unfriending me or whatnot. So I now try not to discuss politics with people that I'm really close with, because if that was the case, I would probably lose like 90% of my friends.
Wow. And so was it I don't want to get into all of your background, but was it sort of a elitist type thing where everybody was kind of prominent, kind of, you know, well off, and so they were Republicans and you decided to go a different route and that's why you got the backlash, or it's just, you know, the families were Republicans, everybody's a Republican, and, you know, and you're from Cali, man, so.
Well, you know what, I'm originally from Miami. My parents are Cuban and they're Republican. So I was always kind of brought up that way, but I was never told this is how I should think. I was always taught you need to think for yourself and make up your own decisions. And so I started looking at anything that's not Breitbart, anything that's not Red State. And I just kind of started thinking, you know what? Maybe I am liberal. Maybe I am a Democrat, because I definitely don't – these ideas of the Republican Party don't resonate with me anymore whatsoever. And the people that have, like, have blocked me or stopped talking to me, I mean, these are the people who work for Fox. These are people who work for, you know, Red State, all the, you know, the big, basically the Republican blog sites of the world.
So would you ever go back?
Oh God, no. No, I
mean, never say never. Never say never.
I never say never. That is true. But as a maybe if anything, it would probably be a libertarian. But there's no way I would go back to becoming a Republican. There's just so much I disagree with, and there's just so much that that I can't support. So I really, as very doubtful, extremely, that that would ever happen.
It's very interesting because, if I'm not mistaken, your parents are old, is not old in the sense of old.
They are.
I was going to say Annie Fidel, and so that's why they're Republican, because...
Yes. Well, okay. My parents actually fled Cuba right before Castro took over, back in the 50s.
Wow.
So, Batista. Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So in a way, I understand why they are the way they are.
Because the long hair, and this is why... Black people will spend so much money to get to go to a Korean hair place and buy that hair is because it gives them a closer look to white people.
So I'm we got all kinds of crazy stuff going on here on the line. But I just wanted to ask that question because I think
cultural conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Pavlov's dog. It's cultural conditioning.
So again, I appreciate you, Coco, for coming on with. Trying to get all the bugs out, and just one last thing too,
sure.
With this tax bill, or this tax reform they call it, how devastating do you think that will be for middle class families? I mean, again, you had someone from Fox that said, you know, the research shows it's probably not going to be. It might be some economic growth, but it's not going to help middle class families. And this is someone who's working for that network. So how devastating do you think that will be for the middle class? And again, as I mentioned earlier, no one talks about the poor. They only talk about the middle class.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you have to understand, I think I saw it somewhere on Fox where they were saying, well, the average American makes $100,000 a year. And I'm like, where?
Not me.
Well, I don't understand. And so for them to think, if they think that's, you know, lower upper to middle class, what do they think is high class? I that's what I want to know. Because if they're using that to base their tax bill, hate to break it to you, that's not the majority of Americans. The majority of Americans don't make $100,000 each year by themselves. So
right.
That's what I want to know.
Right. And do you think, and I think I asked Kevin about midterms and how this bill will help or hurt Republicans or help or hurt Democrats in terms of the midterm elections. I'm almost surprised in a sense that they pushed this thing through, but then again, they wanted to get it done before the 31st, but they pushed it through. And if there's no growth in November of 2018, that could be ramifications for the Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the Democrats are going to be winning at this point because if I don't know anybody who is for this. I really do not. And it actually surprised me that it got passed because, I don't know anyone who is for this tax reform. I mean, and it's, you know, they wanted to, like, replace Obamacare, and they wanted to do this, and half of the people didn't even read the damn bill. So how are we going to know what's going into it if the people who are trying to pass it didn't even read it?
Yeah, and I think, though, Republicans wanted to get something done, which is really stupid in itself. Let's go against...
Mm-hmm.
80% of the country says this bill is no good, so we can say, hey, we passed something. When 80 to 100% of the people know you passed it because you just said, let's do this because we hadn't passed anything. I mean, it's really stupid.
Yeah. they're trying to one up Obama. Seriously, it's like, well, Obama did this, so I'm going to do so much better. And it's so juvenile, so childish. It's very middle school, in my opinion.
Very, very. You're exactly right. And not only that, I think that with the, as we call him, the orange orangutan in the office, he's like a little, he's Charlie Brown. Like, I'm taking, or was it Lucy that took the ball? I'm not your friend no more, and taking off. I'm not your friend no more. And he's also the guy that would go, you know, well, I'll show I'm better. My crowd, my inauguration was bigger than Obama's, and my this and my that, and I have this and I have that. It's just, he's a, not only a narcissist and a racist, but he's a little child.
Yeah.
Like, my kids
honestly
act more mature than him.
Oh, no, I mean, you know what? To me, it feels like he's the type of person whose daddy didn't love him enough as a child. So he's done everything he possibly can to please his racist, by the way, KKK member, father, in any sense of the word, you know. So, I mean, he's like a little, I've seen children that are like 3 years old who could run the country better than he can.
Mm. Well, we will see what happens in the ramification as the days and weeks go on. Coco, as always, I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing on the show.
Thank you.
And on BuzzFeed, send me some emails so we can, in terms of your BuzzFeed article, so we can get that on the website. I appreciate you. We'll talk with you next week.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you. What an evening. Interesting, to say the least. And we appreciate the patience of all that were listening, all that were participating. If you missed any part of the program, go to our website, thebachelorpadnetwork.com. Bachelorpadnetwork.com. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk with you very soon on the Bachelor Pad.